53. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, good morning. How are you, Luke?
I'm very good. The Opinana, very good. Whack me with a stick anytime you want. Mark, what's on your mind?
It's just in relation to this trans, or these children being spoken about, transgender kids, or the transition at young ages.
At three, yeah.
Yeah, so just a bit of a background. My son was actually born female, and...
What does that mean?
So he was born a girl. I didn't have a son when he was born. He was actually born as Jade. And for the first three or so years, we had Jade in our family. And then we started to notice a few changes within the house. At preschool, we'd only go off and play with the boys. Then more or less started wearing boys' clothes, wouldn't wear a dress. Photos from the house of him at Santa and stuff like that started to disappear. And we're wondering what was going on. And all of a sudden, Lisa found, all my wife found, a lot of photos of her buried in the back of his cupboard. I'm sorry if I'm changing male to female there, but I don't have a Jade anymore. I only have a male, being Jack.
I am confused. I'm going to have to ask you to go back again, but keep going first.
Yeah. Okay, so he started to actually take photos from around the house and hide them, and that's when we started to become a little bit aware that possibly that there was a situation that he wasn't a female and he believed that he was a male. So this all started at the kindergarten. When we transgressed into primary school, he only ever played with the boys and he had to start wearing the boys' school uniform. Now, he was still a female at that stage.
Now, your son was born a female.
Yep.
With female genitalia.
Yes, and still has female genitalia.
Okay, so you and your wife believed you had given birth to a daughter.
Yes.
And then at what age did things start to look a bit different?
Three.
Three. What did your daughter start doing at three?
So that's when they started to wear, when he started to wear male clothes, wouldn't wear dresses, wouldn't wear pink, had to wear black or blue or brown. Wouldn't associate with any girls at school, only associated with boys at school. And
at three?
At 3 years of age. So we've, since he's progressed now, he's 12, and we've progressed through all the psychologists, all the psychiatric reports, all the hormone testing, all the bone density testing, through everything to now, where he is now known as Jack. His birth certificate is Jack.
You changed his birth certificate?
He chose his name. We didn't choose his name. He chose his own name.
At the age of what?
Age of five, he chose his own name.
At five, he said, I'm no longer Jade, I'm Jack. Five. I'm just trying to think of things I was thinking of at five. You can't judge because I haven't been in this position. And this is why I was thinking that this parent, or these parents that decided to pull their three-year out from a preschool that was teaching kids about reading a book about a boy who wanted to be a girl, you're saying, had that book been read to your daughter, who's now your son, that would have made sense?
It would have, most definitely. Now, I understand that there's religious beliefs and a lot of people don't seem to want to understand that it is a real thing. It's not as if it's the child has a whim, they want to be a tomboy, or they want to just, carry on like they do. It's like they're hardwired in their brain that their body is incorrect, but their brain tells them that they are the opposite sex, whether it's going male-female or female-to-male.
Yeah. Your son, who's now Jack, is 12?
Yes.
Is he going to have the operation?
That doesn't happen until you're 18 and he has to make that decision.
Yeah.
Only he can make that decision. Now, a lot of people transition but don't change their gender.
How does he go at school? He can't stand at a urinal, for example. I'm not being smart. I'm serious.
No. So I can give him we left one public school. We've now put him into the private sector because the public school doesn't understand. They don't associate even when we go away on camps. He would be ostracised and put in the cabin by himself because at a primary school you have the boys in one room and the girls in the other room.
Yeah.
And because he was between the two, he was split completely away from the whole rest of the year. and put in a cabin by himself. So the social problems that come out of that were phenomenal.
Now, what does he do when, for example, in the sports, in the gym, having showers after sport?
So most new places now have cubicles.
Yeah.
Now, he accepts that he is a male, so therefore we go to the male toilets together. Now, on appearance, no one would know. He is a male. He has short hair. He has dresses boys' clothes. Without physically seeing him undressed, you would not know. No one would ever pick it.
Mm.
So, but what I'm happy to say is that things are changing, and this association of reading to children at a young age is a positive step, because generationally, if we start now, these children will understand by the time they become adults that this is a thing. 50 years ago, we didn't even have the thought of an Aboriginal child, you know, at school. But now, over 50, 60 years, we have changed, and Aboriginal children are now the same. So if we...
Well, look at marriage equality. Who would have thought we would have had that?
Exactly right.
Once upon a time, homosexuality was illegal, and that was the start of the Mardi Gras in Sydney. It started as a protest.
Yeah.
Now it's a celebration. So people change, ideas change. I get that. But what about this rubbish from ANU saying that you can't use the word mother or father?
That has to, I think, go by case-by-case scenario. You can have the two mothers in a relationship and both can do the same role. Like, no one has a defined role now of a mother and a father role.
But it is a mother who gives birth.
That's true. That's the only genetic part of it.
You can't drop the word mother and replace it with gestational parent when the fact is it's the mother that gives birth.
Yes, it is. That's more a medical term, I believe. Whereas if you kept it as, yes, the mum gives birth, that is fine. I think we're going too medical orientated. You know, this breastfeeding now being, you know, all that ridiculous stuff. That's over the top. It's just what it is. So, but yeah, as for my son, yeah, I've never been more prouder than him. And the decisions that he's made as a child that most children don't even think about is phenomenal.
Well, I've got to say he's very lucky to have you as his dad, because 50 years ago this would not have been tolerated. But you know what? Since we started talking about this transgender and gender awareness and all this, and just remember I'm a dinosaur, so this is all new for me.
Yep.
What year were you born?
1972.
Okay. Did you, when you were a kid growing up, did you ever read Enid Blyton?
No, I did not. Sorry.
Okay. Enid Blyton, a children's author, a terrible, dreadful woman to her own children, but, you know, millions of children around the world adored her. And she wrote a number of books. And one of them was a book about these four kids that solved mysteries, and they were called the Famous Five. And there was two brothers and a sister, Julian, Dick and Anne from memory, and they had a cousin whose real name was Georgina, but she insisted on being called George. She cut her hair short and only wore boys' clothing. And she wanted to be a boy. Now, this book was written back in the 50s. Actually, I think it was written just post-World War II. And back then, you just thought that George, whose real name was Georgina, was a tomboy, liked to climb trees, liked to play with boys, didn't like playing with girls. I wonder now if Enid Blyton was writing about something else.
Possibly. There might have been an underscoring message.
I wonder. Yeah. I often think now, since we talk about transgender children, about the character George in Enid Blyton's books, The Famous Five. The fifth member was the dog, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it?
It is. So and you've got to remember, these kids make these decisions themselves and parents just support them. It's very rarely that if a parent pushes this through a child, it won't get past the medical stages. It's such a very stringent testing process to say that, yes, the doctors, it's not one doctor. I think we saw three psychologists to get three different opinions and they all come to the same conclusion.
So when your son, Jack, who was originally your daughter, Jade, when your son, Jack, who now is male, identifies as male, when he starts playing competitive sports, is he going to be at a disadvantage? What, he'll be in a boys' footy team or a boys' cricket team or whatever, but he would be have been born a girl. The thing is, with transgender athletes, when it works the other way around, it's often not fair. When somebody is born a male and then identifies as a female and then competes in sport as a female, but they're born with all this extra testosterone. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally understand. And we're at that stage now. He's chosen sports that are generally single sports. So he does black belt, karate and stuff like that. So he's currently at a stage where he's just about got his black belt. He has to do a endurance run. Mm. The female endurance run is only 3 kilometres, but he won't do it. He has to do the 5 kilometres in 33 minutes.
So he's going to compete fair and square as a boy.
Yeah, as a boy.
Now, this will be interesting if he takes up golf. He's going to have to hit from the men's tees and not the women's tees. That'll sort him out.
I doubt you would ever get him standing on a woman's tee.
No, I was being facetious. I was having a bit of...
But yeah, he wouldn't do it. So he only associates himself as that, regardless.
Now, not him, all right.
Even at the swimming carnivals, he would compete in the male swimming carnivals and he would still come second and third.
Mm.
So, yeah, understanding their primary school and early high school, but his ability at the moment is still up there. Yes, later years, the male obviously will go a little bit faster because that's the genetic makeup and the muscle makeup. But yeah, at the moment, he competes and wholly and solely as a male and is very competitive.
I've never spoken to anyone like you, Mark. I'm so pleased you rang.
No, that's fine.
Of course, so when he gets older and he turns 18 and can make the decision for himself, do you think he will have the genitalia operation?
Don't know. I don't know. We've discussed it. At the moment, he's on hormone blockers to prevent puberty.
Right.
So that way he can obviously not have any menstruation.
Yeah, that was my next question.
Yeah, so at the certain age, once they've passed all the testing, they go on to puberty blockers. From there, he'll be on the puberty blockers for about 3 to 4 years, and then he'll start testosterone injections. To start defining his face and his figure a little bit more and turning more into a male. He won't...
But I would have thought that testosterone may well already be there.
Well, generally, that could be. It's at this stage, because he still has ovaries, is that he has to obviously stop the menstruation cycle because that's the dominant part in his body.
This is absolutely fascinating. I mean, I'm just listening to you. I'm being educated. This was not a topic of conversation when I was growing up.
No, definitely not. And my parents struggled. They still struggle to this day. And they're in their 70s. They don't understand why and how. And we just keep reiterating it's his choices. And we're only there to support him and his choices. It's not for me as a parent to force a child into doing what I want them to do. It's the child's choice. And you support it 100%.
Wow. Yes, his grandparents. What about, does he have two sets of grandparents?
Yes, he does. One side is quite good and understanding, but my side, I'll be honest, is, it strikes a wall.
It's going to be difficult because it's another generation altogether. I mean, I've heard of grandparents disowning their grandchildren if they were the wrong religion, you know?
Yep, I've heard of parents walking away because their child says that they believe they're male or female when they're the opposite sex.
Oh, I've had people ring this program. Jess will tell you. I've had people ring this program who have, after struggling with their sexuality because they've been told all their life that it was wrong, that it was abnormal and a sin in the eyes of God, and they've finally said, I am homosexual, and they've come out and told their parents, and their parents have disowned them.
Yeah. So this comes back to the religion, which is a whole topic that, we won't broach on.
Well, it's there. How many people have contemplated or gone ahead with suicide because the church has told them, drummed it into them, that what they're feeling is a sin and they're going to burn in hell. Thank you, Israel Folau. Thank you, Margaret Court. And they're born that way and they have no choice, and yet they feel guilty because the church has told them that what they're doing is wrong in the eyes of God, you know?
Yes. Yep.
I should just mention 13, 11, 14. if any of this is triggering for you, there's Lifeline there, and it's available 24/7, 7 days a week, and it's free. Yes, I mean, can you imagine what Israel Folau? I mean, just imagine if your daughter Jade, who's now Jack, was a rugby union fan and thought the world of Israel Folau, and then had Israel Folau telling your son Jack that what he's doing is causing bushfires, you know?
Yeah, but I would educate him enough to know that that man is not the correct person you want as a role model.
Yeah, good
and
on you.
That's my job, is to educate and guide, and I can only give that guidance, whereas he has to make that decision.
Yeah, I think he's so lucky to have you as a parent, Mark. What about his mum?
Their mum's the same. We're both on the same page, 100%. So it's his decision. Even his older sister, 100% supports him. So understands the process. She's seen the process the whole way through. It's been 12 years of constantly going to doctors. And because we're on the Central Coast, there's nothing on the coast. So it's either to Sydney or to Newcastle for us to see the special.
Yeah, I think that these things will change. It's taken us a long time to get marriage equality. A lot of people my age and even your age, Mark, wouldn't have ever thought that they'd live to see that, and we did. So maybe this preschool, I can understand why this parent pulled their three-year-old son from a preschool who were giving gender fluidity lessons to three-year-olds. And you think, gee, a three-year-old's completely innocent. Why does a three-year-old need to learn this? It should be up to parents. But dropping the words mother and father in a bid for gender-inclusive education at Australia's top university is also very, very confusing for someone my age. And this is where I'm very, very lucky to have Jess as my producer, because she's played a very, very big role in getting this old head on my shoulders into keeping an open mind and listening to people, Mark.
Yeah, that's all that people should do, is just listen and be aware of other people's circumstances. Don't judge and make your own decisions. Don't rely on, say, a church to tell you what to do. Find the facts, find what you think is right, and believe in that. And if a lot of people chose to do that instead of following other people, we'd be in a much better place.
Great friend of this program. He's a vital part of this program, is the Reverend Jim Reynolds. Have you heard him?
Yes, yep.
Yeah. He's the head of the outreach, the Christian outreach centres around Australia. And, you know, he's a man who preaches the word of Jesus and the Bible, and he's openly gay. Now, can you imagine the conflict that went on with him?
Yeah, definitely. But he's made a choice to come out openly to support his beliefs. Okay, yes, he believes in the church, which I don't, but that I don't disrespect him because of the fact that that's his decision. You know, I can't hold a grudge or bear a grievance against him because he's choosing his path. I don't have to believe in his path of God, but I can believe in the path that this is a man who is gay and he's happy with what he is, which is what I would do.
Wow. This is an amazing story. I'm so pleased you rang, Mark. If you've just joined us, this is Mark, whose son was born, his daughter, and her name was Jade, and he's now called Jack. It was his decision. He made that decision at five. What would you say to people listening who would say, and look, I'm playing devil's advocate, Mark, because I believe in everything you're saying and I like you. But what would you say to the critics that would say there's no way in the world a three-year-old knows whether they're male or female, and there's no way in the world that your son, Jack, wanted to change his name and wanted to decide to become a boy at that tender age? He must have been led from somewhere. What would you say to those critics?
They need to experience what actually happened within each household. Every household is different.
Yeah, but you see, a lot of people would not accept it, and they would disown the child. They would send it off for counselling. They would send it off to a psychiatric ward to be re-educated. You know, that's what used to happen.
That's what.
Or back in the medieval days, burnt at the stake.
I know, and now you're talking past, present. Now, we found that we had a problem with our child, so we took him to a psychologist, and then that psychologist said this, and then we took him to another one, and we got three opinions before we started to actually look at the process and say, well, this might be a thing. we then went Google mad. We researched the daylights out of it. And then all we did is we just let him choose his path and we actually allowed him to make those decisions. We didn't force it on him. So if you feel as if something's different, don't cast it aside. Look at it, assess the situation, find your information, get specialised help, which is out there everywhere, and then put that forward and see what happens.
Tell me again what you said at the beginning about photographs with Santa disappearing.
So what would happen is all the photos of him dressed in dresses and all that, as you do as parents, take lots of photos of kids. When they're young, they were all around the house and they started to disappear and we didn't know where they were going.
He took them away.
He took them away and he was hiding them in the back of his cupboard so no one could see him.
He didn't want to be seen in a dress.
No, not at all. That was our first major indicator that something here is different.
This has been the most amazing conversation I think I've ever had, Mark. I really appreciate you calling.
No worries. Thanks very much, Luke. Appreciate your time.
Please call back again soon.
No worries, mate. Bye.
All right. There you go. What do you make of that? 133353 is the number. This is the Night Shift on Triple M. You only hear this stuff here.